Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Networks on Saturday, April 14th, 2018. This is episode 1479. I'm told I did not tell you to enjoy last week, so I'm going to tell you it twice this week. Enjoy! Enjoy! The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by ActiveCampaign. If you have a growing business and you want to acquire more customers, you need ActiveCampaign. Their solution goes beyond marketing automation to give you the right type of message to the right person at the right time. For a free trial, go to activecampaign.com/twit. And by Quip. Make a fresh start this year with a Quip electric toothbrush. It cleans like a premium electric brush at a fraction of the cost. Visit getquip.com/twit to get your first refill pack free when you purchase any Quip electric toothbrush. And by TurboTax Live. New from TurboTax. Now you can get a personal review of your tax return with a CPA or EA right on your screen. Talk live with a tax expert as often as you need for tax advice to help you file with confidence. Go to TurboTaxLive.com/TechGuy. Well, hey, hey, hey. How are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk about computers and the internet and home theater and digital photography and smartphones and smartwatches and all that jazz. 8888 Ask Leo. That's my phone number. If you want to call and talk, you know, ask a question, make a comment, make a suggestion. 888-827-5536. That's a toll-free number, so, you know, you don't have to worry about paying for it. You don't have to. Won't cost you nothing. From the outside the U.S. and Canada, you can use Skype, and it still won't cost you anything. 8888-ASK-LEO. Website techguylabs.com. Place to go if you want to see what I talked about. You don't have to write anything down. You can even listen to audio and video from past shows up there. It's free. No sign up. TechGuyLabs.com. Oh, let's see. Let's take a look at the news. Apple sent a memo out to employees saying stop leaking information in a memo that was immediately leaked, of course. Because you know how people are in technology? Rebellious. Rebellious. You don't ever want to manage a bunch of geeks. No. Tell us what to do. We'll do the opposite. Although it was a scary memo, now that I can read it, in which they mentioned that in 2017, they caught, remember Apple hates leaks, they're all about secrecy. They caught 29 leakers, and this is the thing that was scary, 12 of them were arrested. What? Apple said, these people not only lose their jobs, they can face extreme difficulty finding employment elsewhere. Talk about scary. This is not the warm, fuzzy Apple I know. That's scary. We'll fire you and make sure you never work in this business again, kid. Wow. Wow. Of course, immediately the memo was leaked. Google did this. Everybody does this, you know, in Silicon Valley. Google did the same thing, and the employee is now suing. He leaked a memo. He's now suing, saying, freedom of speech. I don't think he's going to win that one. Common misconception. You know, you only have freedom of speech when it comes to the government. The government. You don't have any freedom of speech as an employee. Right, Hesse? Right, John? No freedom of speech here. I know. 29 employees lost their job, 12 of them arrested. What? the attorney who represents the Googler who's suing says the overall broad definition of confidential information makes it so employees don't say anything, even about issues they're allowed to talk about. He said that's problematic. Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. I mean, employees should have, they should be able to talk with other employees in the outside world, I guess. I don't know. As a journalist, I love it when they when Apple memos get leaked. Keep up the good work, kids. Can't help you if you get arrested, though. What would they arrest them on? In some cases, they face jail time and massive fines for network intrusion. Oh, we have the worst, most draconian laws for hacking. Members of Congress are so terrified about stuff they don't understand. Hacking, oh no, that they've made laws that are just very broad and scary. So that's how they get them, huh? That's how they get them. I understand the potentials of criminal consequences. Potential criminal consequences are leaking are real, and that can become part of your personal and professional identity forever. I work with a couple of people who got in trouble for that kind of thing. It's not a black mark in my book. The reason people don't like leaks. Well, let me quote from the memo, the leaked memo. Everyone comes to Apple to do the best work of their lives, work that matters and contributes to what all 135,000 people in this company are doing together. There's your problem. 135,000 people know a secret. What are the chances are it won't get leaked? The best way to honor those contributions is not leaking. Okay. Okay. Whatever you say. Here's something you might want to be aware of. If you get approached, this is the new, the hotness, right? Blockchain, Bitcoin, and you know all that, cryptocurrency. And one of the hot items these days is ICOs, something coin offerings. What's the I stand for? The idea is that you can invest in a company and not in the regulated stock market, buying shares in a company. No, that's too highly regulated. What if we did ICOs where you could buy Bitcoin, I guess, and be part of a company? But be careful. A lot of companies doing this. A lot of good, legitimate companies doing it. But that's the problem. A Vietnamese company called Modern Tech. Oh, I'd invest in that. Modern Tech. That sounds good. Had an ICO, they had a coin they were going to call Pincoin. Initial coin offering. I guess that's what the I stands for. Initial coin offering. Like it's like an IPO, initial public offering, only it's a coin offering. They raised $660 million, more than half a billion dollars, from 32,000 people. They paid out a few rewards to Pincoin investors in tokens. Here's your iFan token. Oh, wow. Then they disappeared. This is so common now, there's a name for it. It's an exit scam. Raise money and then disappear. There were seven Vietnamese nationals who started this company. Let's see. That's almost $100 million each. You'll be able to find them. They'll be the ones with super yachts. Oh, my. All right. Given the news about self-driving cars lately, you might be a little nervous about the idea of a self-driving car in your neighborhood. If you live in Mountain View, California, be very wary. Waymo, which is Google's self-driving car unit, has applied to test cars on California roads without even drivers, without safety drivers even, just empty vehicles driving around in Mountain View, mostly, which is down by Google. A fleet of self-driving Chrysler Pacifica minivans. Oh, Lord. What could possibly go wrong? And if they hit you, there's no one at the wheel to even report it. They just go on about their business. Wow. All right. Just something to be aware of. Oh, and finally, good news. I always thought this was silly. You know, when you buy something with a credit card and they say, sign here. I draw pictures of bunnies, hearts, XOXO. No one cares. No one looks. For years on the back of my credit cards, I've said check ID, hoping that that would... No, nobody even looks. They compare the signature to the back. Like, no, they don't do that. Well, from now on, they don't have to. They don't even have to ask for a signature beginning today. MasterCard, American Express, and Discover actually started yesterday. Visa starts today. No more signatures. Now, the merchant may still require it, and if they do, you still have to sign it. But just understand that's the merchant for some reason wanting to collect your autograph. The folks at the credit card companies say you don't have to do that. The change is optional with merchants, so you do have to sign. And I guess, but this is it. Restaurants, wherever, in theory, they could just swipe and say, thank you, goodbye. Because they've got pins. It's secure. What could possibly go wrong? Not that the signature ever did anything. Nevertheless, now you know. If they don't ask for a signature, you know, occasionally on small purchases, you're at a coffee shop and you buy something, they just go, thank you. They just swipe it and go out the door. This is like that. 8888 Ask Leo, there's the news of the world. Fresh, hot off the presses. Do they still have presses? I don't know. TechGuyLabs.com. Kim Schaffer's there. She's ready to answer your call, so give her a ring and we'll get you on the air. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Oh, man. There she is, Kim Schaffer. What, can I call you the Tech Gal?
Sure.
Okay. our Tech Gal, Kim Schaffer here, answering your call.
Sometimes I answer the questions before I put them on the air.
I know.
It happens. I've picked up some knowledge from you over the years.
So. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Anytime you can do that, save everybody the trouble of joining me on the radio. Yeah. So let's see. Looks like you've been busy answering the phone. Anybody I should start with here? Any urgent calls? Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry you have to work on your birthday. Put your hat on. Happy birthday. Wow. Happy.
Thank you.
Yeah, are you doing anything fun for your birthday after the show?
Oh, just meeting friends. My entire family decided to abandon me and go off to Las Vegas this morning. And
wait a minute, it's your birthday.
I know.
They're celebrating without you in Vegas?
They're going to pick something up there, but I had to do this, or I'm doing this.
You had to work.
Yes, I had to work.
You had to work.
They just,
because Leo is a taskmaster.
I'm like, really? That's so nice of you guys. I appreciate it.
Bye, Kim.
Bye. We're going to Vegas.
So, everybody who calls today, I want you don't have to sing. But although the chat room seems to be singing for you.
Yeah. Guess so, because I keep hearing dings in my
ding. every time they say Kim's name, yeah. Ding. So everybody say happy birthday to Kim when you call today.
Well, thank you, everybody.
Let's
in
give
advance.
Her a, let's give her a special day. Who should I talk to on the phone?
We'll go. Started easy with that easy listening just now, so we'll go easy. Barry and Barry White?
It's Barry. Yeah, baby.
Barry to Barry.
Baby, you know when a computer meets a printer.
Or was that Al Green?
I don't think it was Barry White. It might have been
Al Green.
Yeah.
Anyway, Barry needs a new printer.
Barry.
I think you can help him.
West LA.
Hi, am I on the phone?
You're on the radio, Barry.
Oh, great. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have to buy a new printer, and I want to be able to send and receive legal-sized paper, and I'm very limited in the amount of selection that I can choose from, so I'm going to throw the three models by you here. And as far as
when you send and receive, you mean fax?
Well, I'm going to print it up, and then I'm going to fax it to somebody.
So you're going to have a fax. You want a printer with a fax as well in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have my own fax machine.
Oh, you have your own fax machine. So
I'm not going to be.
The printer does not need to be an all-in-one. Okay.
Yeah, okay. So I want to be able to receive, when they sign it, I want to be able to receive a legal size back, you know, and print it up. So anyway, the three, now they don't come in legal size, they come in wide format.
For a long time, we thought we would have a paperless office. Didn't happen.
Well,
didn't happen, did it?
No, not with
somebody
me.
Said, we'll have a paperless office as soon as there's a paperless bathroom.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm stuck with wide format because very few of them have the legal size, because I need two trays. I need one for standard 8x10 paper and one for the legal size paper.
Wait, what do law offices do? You'd think there'd be lots of printers for legal size.
Yeah, well, anyway, let me sort by
you. Tell me which ones you found, yeah.
Okay, I got a Hewlett-Packard is one of them.
Yeah.
It's got the two trays. It's wide format. Yeah. Now, this is inkjet.
Yeah.
And I also looked at the Brother wide format.
Yeah.
And I looked at the Epson wide format. So between the three of these, as far as liability, I mean, reliability goes, and...
is the Brother an inkjet, or you said it's an inkjet, not a laser?
Yes. Yeah, inkjet, yes.
Okay. And how often are you going to be printing these documents?
Okay, I'm not going to be printing them a lot, but I'm going to make sure that I print at least a few times a week to keep so the ink doesn't dry out. You got to watch the ink don't dry out.
Right, and that's one reason a lot of people who do this get a laser printer instead of an inkjet printer. But you're dead set on an inkjet, huh?
Well,
I would look. I mean, if you don't think, first of all, legal, you don't need color. And
I want color. I got it because I have to print some brochures up too.
Okay, so there is color laser, but it's not as colorful as color inkjet.
Yeah.
You might even think about having a two printers because they're so cheap these days. Have one for an inkjet for the color stuff you need to do, and a laser printer for the once in a while high quality. A reason I like laser is because if you do it very occasionally. You don't have to do that. Yep. Oh, I got to print every day just to make sure my ink nozzles don't get stuck up. Anyway, HP, very, very good. Brother, very, very good. Epson, very, very good. You know that Epson is a sponsor, and I should give you that disclaimer up front. So,
I'm a little
predisposed toward Epson. And actually, this goes back long before they were a sponsor. We tried really hard to get them to be a sponsor for years because for my photography work, I've always used Epson. Epson really makes... the best high-end photo printers. I really like all the Epson printers, and I've used an Epson all-in-one for years and years, even an Epson laser for many years. But Brother makes be very scrupulously fair, even though they're a sponsor. Brother makes very inexpensive and I think perfectly good laser printers. I mean, well under $200. I think they even have an under $100 laser printer if you just want black and white.
All right, okay. Can I ask you one other quick question?
Sure.
I've got to get a new computer. I'm going to order it custom made from Dell, a business model where you can, it's not going to break down after, two or three years like you buy at Best Buy and then Verizon.
You're right. Yeah. You're smart because a lot of people cheap out and then they get mad because in a year or two the thing is kind of falling apart.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right. So the question is, am I better off leaving a computer on continuously for 8 hours a day or to turn it off?
Doesn't matter whether you turn it off or it doesn't matter, turning it off and on. I think because of the old light bulb thing, right? Light bulbs always blow out when you first turn them on. Incandescent light bulbs. Does anybody even have any anymore? But so people, I think there is some stress when you turn the computer on and off, but leave it on. It's fine. Leave it on. And then when you're not going to use it for an extended period of time, like overnight, it's fine to turn it off. I leave all my computers on. Modern computers these days go to low power, such low power modes when they're sleeping, that I don't think it's a big waste of power. And by the way, most printers will handle legal size if they can handle different cartridges, different paper feeders. So I think you should have a better choice than you think. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Bump, dear bump. You know what that music means. It's time for the home theater guru, Mr. Tuba Christmas himself, Scott Wilkinson.
Tuba Christmas in April. I love it.
You know, I was watching the Larry David show on HBO called Curb Your Enthusiasm, and they have a wonderful tuba-themed intro to it.
Really?
And every time
I
hear it, I think, I wonder, that's Scott. I bet that's Scott on the tuba there. Boom, boom,
boom, I wish boom. It was.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun?
That'd be really fun. Oh, now I have to go see the show, of course.
Yeah, on HBO. It's it's a mixed bag. Sometimes it's hysterical. Sometimes it's just a lot of whining.
I hate whining. I was one of the very few people who did not like Seinfeld.
Yeah, well, he was the creator of Seinfeld, so you may not like this.
I may not like this, but if he has a tuba in his theme song, well, then I'm
what
there.
What could possibly be bad with that? So exactly. Every week we talk about audio and video. You might wonder how a tuba player became an expert in audio, but no.
I sort of had to, but.
Yeah, I think that's true, right?
Yep, especially subwoofers.
Subs. The low end sound.
That's right.
So what do you want to talk about this week, Mr. Wolf?
Well, got a couple of things. One is, remember last week we were talking about that Oppo, the disc player company, is shutting down, and we were talking about maybe the demise of physical media.
Yeah.
But there's one format of physical media that is actually increasing. You know what it is?
What's that?
Vinyl records.
Oh, gosh. Increasing. But, you know, this is why percentage increase isn't that meaningful. When you're practically zero, doubling is not so impactful.
Yeah, right, right.
Well, we sold 50 records this year. That's twice as many as last year. How big is the market? How many, literally, how many, do we know how many vinyl albums?
I mean, I'm sure there is data on that. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
The reason I bring it up is that I this week saw a news item that I'm going to be pursuing about a company in Austria who has come up with a new way of making vinyl records.
Wait a minute. Holy cow.
Yeah.
14.32 million vinyl records sold last year.
There you go.
14 million. The year before, 13 million. It's up 9%. Okay. I take it back. It's
there's
the 12th,
something to it.
The 12th straight year of growth in vinyl album sales.
Yep.
What? 8.5% of all album sales in 2017 were vinyl.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Why? Scott, is this just voodoo?
No. It's not voodoo. It's like the debate between digital imaging and film imaging or digital audio and analog audio. It's the debate between digital and analog. Some people believe that they can hear a difference. And sometimes, you know, when you ask them to describe it, you know, they sort of come up with weird names and words and stuff. It's ineffable in some way. But there are still plenty of people who just swear by it. They you know what?
It's
analog audio.
You know, I think the tech industry is in trouble. It's all over. So people are making turntables and cartridges.
Oh, yeah.
Is the dishwasher company back in business now?
I don't know. I remember that.
Sure. So did I. Yeah, a little squirt, a little juice on it. It had a little velvety kind of thing, and you'd clean your album with. Crazy. Mm-hmm.
This is one reason why I'm not a vinyl guy. I don't care about vinyl because it's too much trouble.
So tell me about this Austrian company now. What are they doing?
It's a great company. It's called Rebeat, and their technology is called HD Vinyl. And what they do is they take an audio track. Actually, believe it or not, and this is kind of ironic, it's digital audio, and they create a 3D map of what it would look like in the grooves of a record. And then they laser etch that into a master. And because they do laser etching, they can do one of two things. They can either pack the grooves closer together, making each side longer. Remember how vinyl records are typically an LP is about 20 minutes on a side?
Yeah.
They can make it 30 minutes. Okay?
Whoa,
extend the length. Hey, you know, for some things, that's good. Or, and I think this is more important, they can make the grooves wider, which gives them greater dynamic range, greater maximum amplitude, greater signal-to-noise ratio.
Yeah.
So they're actually improving the audio characteristics of what's coming off the record. They can also encode up to, and this is a great debate, you know, they can record up to 100 kilohertz sounds. Now, of course, we can't hear anything above 20, and you and I can't hear anything probably above 15. But this whole high-res audio thing, which you and I have talked about many times, it can now be addressed on vinyl records.
That's pretty cool.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, they also make a... they also make a stamper. You know, vinyl records are made by making a master and then stamping it into a vinyl blank.
Right.
Their stamper is made out of ceramic, and so it lasts a lot longer. The 10,000th printing, so to speak, is the same as the first one, whereas a conventional nickel stamper wears out, wears down. So the thousand, it has to change about every 1,000 pressings. So there are a number of advantages here. It's actually pretty cool. And these records will play on any current record player. So, and but they're also, this company's planning to make record players that will take advantage, more advantage of their technology and improve the sound
even more. You could have what would you do to make it different?
Well, I think you would change the shape of the stylus for one thing, because the groove shape is a little different now.
Right. Here's a trivia question.
Yeah.
How many grooves are there on each side of a record?
I know the answer to this one.
There's one on each side. I know.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
So,
only one.
What do they say? Like 12 gram vinyl? You see, sometimes they'll have.
It's like 100 and 100. 100
12 wouldn't
grams.
Be very much. Well, no, is that no. better? It's heavier, I guess.
Yes, it's heavier, yeah. more stable.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And do you still put pennies on the arm?
No.
That's only, you know what that is? That's if the record, if you leave the record in the window, this is great. All the lawyer from my youth is coming back.
Yes.
If you leave
yes.
the record in the window, it warps and it will throw the, if it's warped enough, it'll actually throw the needle off of it.
Yep.
Like
so
a
you put
surfing.
Some pennies on it so to keep them there.
You put some weights on it.
I remember that. Yeah. No.
Dishwasher's out of business, but RCA, which I thought was out of business also, still makes something they call a dishwasher. Although, if you read the reviews on Amazon, they say it's not anything like the same dishwasher. And then there's people who've put up the secret formula for the D3 solution and the D4 plus solution.
Man, I remember that well.
You do a little squirt and you brush off the needle and all this.
Do
you think digital sounds worse than vinyl?
No, I don't. It's there could very well be some difference, intrinsic difference.
You know where it it would sound worse is on the tuba. Right?
No, you can get pretty low frequencies on vinyl. I don't think that's a problem.
Okay.
What really I don't like about vinyl is the effort it takes. Yeah.
But I think that's what people like. It's like smoking a pipe. It gives you a chance to think. While you
and
do
interact.
All
and yeah, well, plus the album art. Okay, the album art's
and you've
really
got the
good.
Big thing, and you get a little now playing. My friend has a huge vinyl collection. He's got a now playing. You know what's playing now? A little tuba music.
All right.
It sounds like tuba and a hurdy gurdy. That's the music from Curb Your Enthusiasm. We should make this your theme song, Scott Wilkinson.
He's
editor at AVS Forum and a tuba player. He can play anything with wind, I'm told. And he joins us each week. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More of your calls coming up. The song is called Frolic.
That sounds kind of frolicky. iPhone Maverick 56, I heard vinyl sound is much better than CD. That's what the vinylophiles say, absolutely. I don't necessarily think so. In the early days of CD, which is now over 20 years ago, maybe close to 30 or 40 years ago. Could it be that long? I think it was 80s. It was in the 1980s that CD first came out. People complained that it was harsh and brittle sounding and very edgy. And that may very well have been because it was a new format. Nowadays, CDs and other digital files are much better than that. They don't have that. I don't think they have that same harsh sound. Vinyl never did. And that's one reason people like it. But it didn't have the dynamic range. And this is one thing about this HD vinyl that I think is actually very interesting because it claims it's going to increase the dynamic range by like 30%. So that could be very interesting. But vinyl is still vinyl. It's a soft material. And if it gets scratched at all or any little something gets in it, even if you clean it with a disc washer or whatever the RCA equivalent is, you're still going to have little tiny pieces of specks of dust and what have you in the grooves. And you're going to hear that. You're going to hear pops. You're going to hear clicks. If the record gets scratched, God forbid if it gets warped in by being too hot, left in the sun, then that's a real problem. So those problems to me make vinyl less attractive than CD or digital. Yes, widescreen, John, exactly. When MP3s first became popular, most people encoded at 128, which is terrible, but 320 is the norm. I don't know that 320 is the norm. A lot of people encoded MP3s at like 64, and that really sounds like crap. Keith 512 says, vinyl can be hard. Oh, okay, I didn't realize that.
Hard for what? You mean hard as a rock hard?
Yeah. I was saying that it's vinyl soft. Is very soft.
Right.
And is easily damaged.
Right.
One way or another. And Keith 512 was saying, no, it can be made hard. Can be made hard. Okay, I didn't know that.
I really want to get a turntable. I don't know why. The problem is I'd have to get all new music. I think this is a conspiracy by the music industry to get us to buy more copies of the Beatles. Because I bought it on vinyl, then I bought it on 8-track, then I bought it on cassette, then I bought it on CD, then I bought it digitally. Now I'm buying it on vinyl again.
Yeah, but 180 gram vinyl.
Oh! Can you stick around to the top?
Sure.
All right. Thank you, Scott. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number. Let's go back to the phones. Line one, Alan is in Lynn, Massachusetts. Hello, Alan.
Hi, Leo. I got a little problem with my Roku box.
Uh-oh.
I want to see if you can help me a bit.
Uh-oh. What's the problem?
The problem is, well, it's a Roku Ultra.
Yeah.
And, I bought it, and it's been about over a month. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm playing, like, YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I'm playing a video. And I'll tell you, I was playing the music by Genesis, and all of a sudden, it went fast forward, but the volume, but the audio stayed normal, and then it died out after 30 seconds. Now, first, I thought it probably was just the video, so I tried Amazon, and I was watching an old John Wayne movie. It went into fast forward, and they were talking normal, and it dropped out after about 20 seconds.
So you mean the video speeds up?
Yeah.
But the audio stays the same?
Yes.
Huh.
Now, I've called Roku, and I'll tell you the funny story about their customer service, which doesn't really work. They told me to remove the programs and then re-add them in. So
right.
I did that, and it happened again. So I even just did a factory reset. Same thing happened again. So I'm sending them all this information. The last information I got from them was, you have to call both of the app vendors to fix this problem.
Well, yeah, no, I don't think so. If it were some small-time app, maybe. But you're talking Google and Amazon. Okay, so yeah. I doubt if there were a problem like that, that were widespread, they would fix it. These companies are going to do good stuff. This sounds to me, it's not an uncommon thing for, it's part of the encoding, and audio and video are decoded separately, and it sounds like something's going on that's unique to you. If it were, I've never seen it. For instance, I use a Roku Ultra. I really like the Roku Ultra because I have a 4K TV.
That's why I bought that, because I have a 4K TV and I wanted to watch stuff in 4K.
Now, I'm surprised the Roku people didn't tell you to do a complete factory reset. That's probably the first thing I would do.
Well, that's what I did.
Yeah.
And I even went online and see if I can roll back their update software, but this one has it's already at the lowest where you can have it.
Yeah, and I actually would go the other way. I'd get it the most recent. But So you're saying that the complete factory reset did not fix it?
It didn't fix it.
Yeah.
And like I said, I've tried talking to them and everything. And so the only thing I did was I just got mad at them and went on their Twitter and their Facebook page.
That's you know what? That's often very effective. I don't know why companies are so worried about what people say on their Twitter and Facebook, but they are. They take that much more seriously than, you know, I'm going to complain to the Better Business Bureau. They go ahead. But Twitter, oh, my gosh, we're in trouble. They're complaining on our Twitter.
You want to know what's funny is I'm actually watching you now. I just got a Amazon Fire, and I'm watching you on Amazon Fire.
Good. And it's working.
And it's working.
My thought on this is you have, especially since it's new, you have a defective Roku. And I think you should just say, hey, dudes, I want a new one.
Yeah, that's what I literally said to them. And they came back to me. They said they want to talk to me.
Yeah, after you tweeted it. Yeah, oh, and I will talk to you. It could be an issue with bandwidth, but that's not a good way to respond. Normally, if the bandwidth gets slow or you drop packets, the video will speed up to catch up. But this doesn't it sounds like it's speeding up and staying sped up, right?
Yeah, that's all it is. Every video, I say, I kind of think it may be a hardware inside it because
yeah.
I turned it off for about 2 days, and then I plugged it in. It started out normal, and then after about an hour, it started acting up again.
Yeah, more and more I'm thinking this is an actual issue with your Roku Ultra. I use a Roku Ultra all the time, and I've never seen this happen. It's not on the fastest connection. It's on a fairly fast connection, but it's on a business class, so it's very consistent. I've never seen it. So I'm thinking they really ought to give you a new Roku.
Yeah, well, I told them, I said in one email, I says, I'll pack this up, send you my receipt, and you can just hand me my $100 back.
Yeah, there you go. And what'd they say?
That's when I got the reaction.
Yeah, back. Say that on Twitter, they'll react for sure. Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't think that this is common, and it's kind of annoying that they would have the effrontery say, "Oh yeah, it's a problem with Google or Amazon software." I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
When they sent me that email, I was laughing. I'm going like, "You want me to contact these two big companies?
Yeah,
they're not
good
even
luck.
Listen to me."
But it's just a shame because you know, here's a company that you don't pay for the YouTube app. You don't pay for the Amazon app. You do indirectly with Amazon Prime. But you paid for this hardware. This is a company that should probably offer better support. But this is really the universal complaint. Companies no longer offer very good support. It's really inadequate. You need to get an RMA. Say, I want an RMA, and I'm going to send this back. And you're going to either, you know, you could try another one. Like I said, I like my Roku Ultra an awful lot. So I don't think this is a universal or even a very common problem. I've never seen this before.
And I'll tell you, I have a Roku 3 and a Roku 4, and I don't have any problems
with
them.
I've had Roku since they were invented. So, yeah, I mean, it's not unusual for them to have software problems. Having said that, they crash from time to time. A reboot is often necessary. You know, it's cheap hardware in there, but nevertheless, it should work.
It should work. Yeah.
Yeah, they're selling it. It should work. So yeah, I would just go. I just would turn it in and get a new one. I think it's pretty simple. It's worth getting it working right. The other reason that they should be more responsive is competition is brutal in this space. You know, I mean, there's Apple, there's Amazon. I think those Fire TVs are outselling anything right now, partly because of the piracy problem with Kodi. You know, everybody's figured out I can get free shows if I just put Kodi on here. And, you know, Amazon does nothing to stop that, which is interesting. But it helps the sales, doesn't it? 888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. We're going to get back to the phones in just a second. 888-827-5536. Talk about anything on your mind. Say happy birthday to the birthday girl, Kim Schaffer, when you call. And we will also put everything we talk about up on the website, as I mentioned. That's really important. It's free. There's no sign up, no fee. You just go there, just like the old days of the web. Visit it. You know, no sign up needed. TechGuyLabs.com. So you don't have to write anything down. TechGuyLabs.com. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. All yours, my friend.
Thank you so much. I want to say happy birthday to Kim Schaffer as well.
Yes, indeed.
I love birthdays.
Who doesn't?
Well, there are some people.
Me. I don't love birthdays. Yeah, I'm too old.
One friend of mine just does not celebrate his birthday at all. He just doesn't like birthdays. I love birthdays.
Yeah, I don't like to.
So, and I love celebrating my birthday. So, anyway, happy birthday to Kim. I hope she's got something fun planned for later. Tim Elliott says, you will not like Curb Your Enthusiasm. I find it hard to watch. And I wouldn't be surprised. Like I said, I didn't like Seinfeld. I don't like watching TV shows about neurotic people.
Then you definitely won't like it. That's all it is.
That's all it is. And that's all Seinfeld
intense neurosis,
was.
Yes.
And I just didn't like that either.
Yeah.
There is one exception, and that is Big Bang Theory, only because it occurs in one of the wheelhouses that I'm very familiar with.
Right.
You know, so sure, Sheldon is – those guys are all neurotic too, but in a nice way, mostly.
Yeah.
There is a kind of a cruel undertone in some of it, which is a little squirmy for me, but – in some cases, it makes me laugh so hard. My wife is in the other part of the house. What are you watching? iPhone Maverick 56 also loves The Big Bang Theory. So here's Compter. I read my article, which I just posted, I guess, on Thursday. About it was an Ask the Editors asking about which projector to get. And the guy was thinking about the new Sony 4K projectors, in particular the VPL-VW285ES. We'll call it the 285. And Compter is asking, is the JVC DLA-X790R better? I have to say that's something of a judgment call. As I wrote in the piece, there are trade-offs in just about everything. So, you know, the question is, which trade-offs are you willing to live with more? The Sony has true 4K resolution. The imaging chips within the projector actually have 8-point-something million individual pixels. And those are what get shown on the screen. The JVCs, by contrast, their imagers have what's called 1080p resolution, 1920 by 1080, and each pixel is quickly shifted back and forth between two positions, forming two separate pixels. This is called, JVC calls this e-shift. I call it pixel wiggling. And Epson does it as well. A lot of the DLP projectors now do it. And the JVC does it as well. And some people complain about that. However, the JVC has a much lower black level, and I find that more important than having actual 8 million in discrete pixels on the screen at the same time. So I recommended to this guy that the JVC was going to be better, also a little less expensive. Now, the 285 Sony is $5,000. The least expensive JVC is $4,000, so yeah, it is less expensive. Not only that, a bigger problem in my mind is that the Sony, they all have HDMI inputs, of course, because that's how you send the video to them. On the Sony, the HDMI port operates at a bit rate of 13.5 gigabits per second. Now, HDMI currently, the maximum rate is 18. And so you might think, well, 13.5 is not that much less than 18, so it should be all right. Right? No. For 24 frames per second movies in 4K or UHD with HDR, it works fine. But if you have 4K HDR at 60 frames per second, doesn't work. And this was a big problem with the Apple TV, which converted everything that it played into 4K HDR 60p. And only, more recently, after the Apple TV was released, Apple TV 4K, I should say, Apple people complained about that, said, why can't we just, why can't the Apple TV just show whatever the source is without converting it? And at in when it was first released, the Apple couldn't do that. It converted everything. So now there's a setting in there that says, play everything in its native format, don't upscale it. And so since most movies, almost all movies, are 24 frames per second, they can be played on the Sony, no problem. Still in all, I prefer an HDMI port that operates at 18 gigabits per second, the highest possible value, which makes it less, it makes it more obsolescence proof. So that's another reason I prefer the JVC, because all the JVCs, even the least expensive one, the HDMI operates at 18 gigabits per second. So lower black levels, 18 gigabits per second, maybe not quite as sharp 4K as the Sony, but I'll take the lower black levels and the 18 gigabits per second. Thank you very much. Mike Heiss, yes, indeed. HP called this pixel wiggling. They used to do this too in their rear projection TVs, believe it or not, if you can remember those. And they called it wobulation, which is a great word. I love that. So the escapist can't stand any of the Big Bang Theory characters. I get that. I understand that. I like them only because I recognize them. They are part of the tribe that I was educated in. So
now, have you watched Lost in Space? The
I have not. That was
Netflix
just coming out.
Launched yesterday.
Oh, did it launch yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm definitely going to watch that.
I'm not watching it because I'm downloaded it onto my iPad for the trip. So I'm very excited. I hope it's good.
Oh, man.
Because otherwise I got 9 hours of crap. But I think it's going to be good.
The early review I read said it was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
No question.
That's our era, too.
It is. Yeah. It is. I mean, even the 60s Lost in Space was so campy. It was
fun. I loved it. I grew up watching that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. I thought it was dropping next week.
Nope, yesterday.
It's out now. Okay.
Thank you, Scotty.
Have a great trip. We'll see you when you get back.
All righty. Take care. Well, hey. How are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk about computers and the internet and home theater and digital photography. I give you this list every week because I want to emphasize it's not just about my Windows PC won't boot. It's not just that's the old school way. I've been doing call-in computer technology talk since 1992. And yeah, in the early days, when I first started, it was a lot of that. Should I upgrade to Windows for work groups? I have Windows 3.0. I do remember in the mid-90s, everybody wanted to know. I have a dial-up they didn't call it internet connection. BBS connection, I guess. I don't know what. And I would like to convert it to get the internet. And there were all these little doohickeys. And I spent a lot of time teaching people how to install. What was that called? It was a little tool that would let you use your modem to dial into the internet. People were just discovering that. That's been a long time now. What is that, 25 years? No, yeah, 25 years? A little more. 26 years? That's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? 26 years in technology is a lifetime. A lifetime. Now, we were talking about Ready Player One, and that takes place 120 years from now, right? So is that right, or is it 2045? No, it's only 20 years from now, isn't it? Yeah, 25 years from now. So imagine that's kind of like the difference between when I started doing this show and now. We've gone from, most people didn't have modems. If you had a computer, it really wasn't connected to anything. If you were really advanced in the early 90s, maybe you were getting CompuServe or Genie or AOL, and you might be getting, chat rooms and mail from those. Was AOL around? Maybe not even by then. It was early days, very primitive. Certainly, the idea of augmented reality or virtual reality was a distant science fiction dream. Might still be. You might make the case it still is. Self-driving cars, no, we weren't even, that wasn't even on the radar. Even GPS wasn't around. I mean, that was, the idea that you could, you'd get a map in your car that was updating, wow, that was wild. We were still, in the 90s, we were still going and buying those Thomas guides, those big maps that covered the whole city, right? And you'd find out what grid the address was on, and then you'd have to page 37 and grid G52, and you'd figure out how to get there from that. We've come a long way, baby. And I don't know, though, if we'll get to the Ready Player One universe in 25 years. I don't think so. I hope not, because it's actually pretty grim. It's a pretty grim environment. 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number. Let's go back to the phones. Enough reminiscing. Enough memory lane. Let's say hi to Marta in Southern California. Hi, Marta.
Hi, Leo. I have been looking forward to talking to you. I am no tech nerd, but I love your voice, and you make your show is so entertaining.
Thank you. Marta, you might, you keep listening, you might turn into a nerd. Be careful.
Well, I'm calling because I'm in trouble.
Uh-oh.
I really love my father-in-law.
Yeah.
And he's a wonderful man.
Uh-huh. But I hear a but coming, but.
He's Swedish, and I'm from Spain.
Yeah.
My father-in-law has forgotten English. He still understands English, but he talks to me in Swedish all the time.
Oh.
And he thinks he's talking to me in English. And
right.
I'm looking after him. I do errands with him. I take him to the doctor.
I bet that happens. I bet that happens at a certain age. Maybe you just forget that language and you start talking your native tongue. That's interesting. And he thinks he's talking. He thinks you understand, but it's Swedish.
Yeah, because I have become.
Do you have a smartphone, Marta? Do you have a smartphone or a tablet? What do you have computer-wise?
I do, but I had tried Google Translate.
And it won't work?
No. First, he's not collaborating. Because
right.
He's talking in English.
Right, that's
so
the biggest
really
problem.
Fast.
Yeah, because I'm going to take Google. I'm going to Japan later this week, and I'm just going to take Google Translate. But, of course, in order for that to work, you launch Translate, and then you say, hello, and you press the button, and it goes konnichiwa, and then the other guy is supposed mm-hmm. to speak into it in Japanese, and wait, mm-hmm. which is what your father-in-law is mm-hmm. not doing, and wait, and then it comes back in English, and you go, oh, yes, and then you say something, and it goes, and you can go back and forth, but you're right, without cooperation, if the person just keeps mm-hmm. talking, it's not going to work.
Yeah, I was wondering if something else,
that's the best.
Like I can hang up on top of him.
Yeah.
And that as he talks, it translates fast.
That's the I mean, if you think, I know, if you think about it, that's the fastest thing out there. It takes a little time. I know. Let me ask the chat room. Anybody know anything faster than Google Translate? That seems like that's got the power of Google behind it. Do you use Google Translate in other contexts?
No.
You've used the new conversation mode, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because that's the one I was talking
about.
Yeah, that's the one I was talking about, the conversation mode. That's the one. And I'm even looking at the Google App Store. It says instant, two-way instant speech, but it isn't. Well,
no,
you could.
No, exactly. It's not instant. No.
So,
and sometimes I have to him, I say, okay, say me this word again. And it will not translate. I don't know if he's not understanding him because he's not pronouncing clearly. But no, it's not being effective enough.
Well, I mean, I think Google's is the fastest, and I understand it's not fast, but I mean, it's fast considering what it's doing. It has to take the Swedish, send it up to the server, translate it into English, send it back down to your phone, and then tell you. That's pretty amazing. Microsoft makes something similar. You might try it just to see. They have a conversation thing, and Microsoft built this into Skype, so they also have a lot of data on this. So I would take a look at Microsoft. It's called Microsoft Translator. Very similar to Google Translate.
Do that also need the internet? Because when I'm his home, his internet works terrible.
Yes, that's another problem. It does. All of these solutions need it because in order for it to work, you know, they can't keep it all on the phone. There's a lot of computation that goes on. There are some offline translators. The chat room, Mini Moose in the chat room says ILI is a offline. IAMILI.com. IAMILI.com. The world's, it says the world's fastest offline translator. Oh, but you have to buy that one. It's $199.
No, I'm willing to do whatever.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's...
Can you say that again?
It's I-A-M-I-L-I. I-A-M-I-L-I. Oh, you know, I've seen people use this. It says it's fast, as little as 0.2 seconds. And because it's not on the internet, it might, in fact, be faster. Now, right now, it's a wait list. They're going to restart again in about a week. What happens with a lot of these smaller companies is they wait till they get a certain number of orders, then they manufacture it all in a bunch. But what this sounds like, it's exactly what you want.
And that is the name of the company?
ILI.
The name of the...
ILI. ILI. And the website is I am ILI. There's also... User 3405 in the chat room tells me that if you look in the settings for Google Translate, you can download offline translation files. That might speed things up. If you downloaded Swedish, that might, because then it would have to go out to the internet. That's probably the biggest slowdown. So try that first. You can do that right now. You know, ILI doesn't unfortunately do Swedish. Rats. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. It translates from English to Spanish, Japanese, or Mandarin. Shoot. The ILI would be perfect, though, for Japan or China. Our show today brought to you by ActiveCampaign. If you are in business, you know that probably the number one way to stay in touch with customers and to keep them happy is with email newsletters. ActiveCampaign is a great way to keep your growing business growing, to close more sales. It's much more than marketing automation. ActiveCampaign gets the right type of message to the right person at the right time. So if you've been sending blast emails, don't do that. With their smart tools, you can dynamically show different content in the messages depending on what you know about your contact information, interactions from the past, social data, interests. That makes those messages so much more effective. You can even send personalized messages when they're on your website, not just in the email inbox or even out and about on a mobile device. Design eye-catching campaigns with a drag-and-drop campaign builder. Maximize engagement with advanced split testing. You know, we often talk about A-B testing. This is A-B-C-D-E testing. And you can have up to 5 different versions and see which exact content, layout, and settings your subscribers respond to. That's pretty cool. 5 version split tests. Of course, multi-user editing, revision history, integrations with all sorts of apps. Conditional content, geo-tracking, site tracking, social sharing, integration with Google Analytics. Everything you need to keep your customers happy, to engage them, to sell more to them. Identify, nurture, convert, and retain more customers with ActiveCampaign. We've got a great deal for you if you go to activecampaign.com/twit, activecampaign.com/twit. Not only do you get a free trial, 14-day free trial, the second month will be free if you buy. You also get one-on-ones with their content experts, a couple of them, so you can get some help and some guidance. They even have free migration from any service you've been using before. ActiveCampaign.com/twit. That is a nice bundle of free offers, including a 14-day free trial. Just send out one newsletter with ActiveCampaign and you'll see what a difference it makes. ActiveCampaign.com/twit. Happy birthday to you, Kim. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number. I was looking at the ILI, the ILI, that we talked about earlier with Marta. It doesn't do, unfortunately, it doesn't do Swedish. It's one way. So it really is for a specific use. It translates one way from English to either Japanese or Chinese or Spanish. I think it had Spanish as well. And the idea is it translates what you're saying to the native speaker, but then it does not translate in the other direction. So it's kind of limited use. I mean, I guess you could say which way is the bathroom and they could point. But it's not a two-way translate. I think Google Translate is a miracle. I plan to use that in Japan. I'll let you know how well it works. But it feels to me as if that's really all you need. But again, it has to be something that the person you're using it with understands what you're doing and is willing to be patient and wait while the translation happens. I'm looking at, English to Swedish in Google Translate. And there is a check mark that says download. So that would speed it up. It's a 31 megabyte file to translate offline on Google Translate for Swedish, English to Swedish. Actually, you might go the other direction, considering that he's going to be doing most of the talking. So make the primary language Swedish, the secondary language either Spanish, Marta, because you speak Spanish, or English, and then download the offline files and see if that speeds it up. Maybe that would be enough there to make it work. It's kind of, if you think about it, this is a perfect example. I was talking at the beginning of the show how I've been doing this since 1992, and here in 25 years, things have changed. This was a totally sci-fi concept, the idea that, in fact, it was in many science fiction works, Star Trek and Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. They had something called the Babel Fish, which had evolved in the strangest way. You put it in your ear, and it would translate what the person was saying into your language. Did the Babel Fish work both ways? Could you speak in their language? I think it must have. Otherwise, what good is it, right? It has to go both ways. And that seemed like a very sci-fi thing. Well, basically, that's what you have with Google Translate. You put your... Now, I think you don't want to put your headphones on to do this. That's actually what they did, Google did for its Pixel Buds. So now I'm going to speak into English and see if it can translate this into Japanese. I'm pausing for a moment. Will it do it? It didn't do it. So much for that. I'll have to work out the kinks before I... How embarrassing, right? You say hello to somebody who doesn't speak English, you start talking to your phone, and then wait, nothing happens. No, that won't be useful. But it's still, if it works at all, kind of sci-fi, right? Kind of amazing, right? 8888, ask Leah. If you have a better solution, let me know. Maybe there is something better. You never know out there. 888-827-5536. Actually, Neo in the chat room is right. He says she would only need one-way translation because she needs him to speak in. He thinks he's speaking English, and I presume when Marta responds to him in English, he can understand it. So she just really needs a fast Swedish to English translator. Maybe if you downloaded, maybe if you made the primary language Swedish and you downloaded the offline files, it'd be fast enough to make that work. Maybe it would. Worth a try. Larry Ventura, California, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Mary. Larry. I need a translator.
Yeah, hi, Leo.
Welcome.
I haven't talked to you since the Screensavers.
You talked to me back then? Nice.
I did.
You must have been 8 years old.
Was it 2008?
Yeah, no. It was 20 years ago we started the Screensavers. 20 years ago this May. You must have been a kid, a child.
Oh, no.
Well, what did you ask me then, just out of curiosity? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember. I just remember you. I just remember speaking to you on the TV. You were on TV then.
Yeah, it was a TV show, and we took calls. In fact, it was so early, and it was between 1998 and 2004. It was so early. In that we would have people, we'd give them what we called netcams. It was the 3Com webcam. We'd give them a webcam, and we'd say, be on the webcam, but use the phone for your audio because it takes too long to get the audio over the internet. So did you, do you remember that? You'd have your camera on, but you'd have the phone to your ear, and you'd be talking that way. The 3Com Netcam Network.
Yeah, that was a fun show.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. We actually, we kind of recreated. We do the new screensavers as a podcast now. It's kind of fun. Twit.tv/NSS if you want to watch it. In fact, you might want to, because I think today Patrick Norton is going to be my co-host. So it'll be kind of like the old days, Patrick and me doing the new screensavers. A little later on Saturdays. What can I do for you? A little plug.
I have a Lenovo Yoga 720. It's a 2-in-1 tablet.
Love it.
And it works fine if it, as a tablet, but I do plug it in at work into an HDMI, and I have a large screen that I use.
Nice, yeah.
It does not show the bottom right of the screen. This is Windows 10, but it doesn't show the start menu. For instance, I can hit the start button, and I can't restart, or I can't make any changes down in that corner over there because it's all flickering.
Yeah.
So
you're putting it on a television, not a computer monitor.
No.
You're putting it on a computer monitor?
Yeah, it's an Asus 27, and okay. I don't know what the other one is.
It should work fine. You want to look in the what almost certainly is the case is that the I'm going to put it in air quotes, the monitor, quote, driver is wrong. You need to have a monitor driver for that monitor on the Asus. I mean, I'm sorry, on the Lenovo, because it is tells it things like what the refresh is, what the resolution is. And if it's not an exact match, if it's using a generic driver, which it probably is, it's just not showing you the whole screen. So that's something that's fairly easy to fix. You go to the Asus website, download again, I put it in quotes because if you look at the driver, it's just a text file that says, here's what I can do. But Windows is smart enough to say, oh, all right. There may also be a setting. Sometimes there is on larger monitors. You should check in the menu on the monitor for underscan. So there's in TV lingo, there's overscan and underscan, which means that there's part of the screen that can be off screen with overscan. So you want to underscan it so that you get the whole screen. So you might be able to do that with a setting in the monitor. But best bet would be to actually get the quote driver for that particular display. And I think that would fix the problem.
So how would that work if I have two different monitors, one at work and one at home?
Well, it queries the monitor. It says, who are you? And then it says, I'm Asus. Oh, okay. I'll use that driver.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
If it, for some reason, if, you know, normally what Windows would do is just download it. But for some reason, it didn't. It has, so it's using probably a generic driver. Or maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe the video card or something is confused. But it's easy enough to fix. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. And if worst case, you can always hit that button in the settings on the monitor. He's been everywhere, man. He's Johnny Jett. He is our travel guru, helps us use technology to travel better. JohnnyJett.com, and he joins us every week. Hello, Johnny.
Hello, Leo.
I'm getting ready to travel.
I know you are. I'm very jealous of your trip to Japan.
You know, I've been there briefly to Nagasaki and I think one other town, but this is going to be the real trip, you know, Tokyo and Osaka and Kyoto.
You've never been to Tokyo before?
Never been to Tokyo.
Wow.
But, you know,
that surprised me.
I want to see the countryside, too. There's a lot of beautiful countryside, isn't there?
The countryside's the best.
Everybody talks about the cities.
Yep.
But the countryside's gorgeous.
My favorite is Kinosaki.
Kinosaki.
So it's about I think it's like an hour outside of Kyoto. I can't remember. It was a while ago since I've been there. But there's no Westerners there. Everyone's walking around in wooden clogs because it's a spa town. And they're walking around in their robes.
Oh, I'm going there.
And
there
are all these different spas. And I actually had
spa town. That's where I'm going.
But you got to be naked in these things. And there's some co-ed. And so got to make sure in advance. And I was staying at this Ryokan, which is a traditional hotel you know, you're sleeping on the floor on a little tatami mat.
Yeah.
And it was I was like, what? And you have to go down the hall to use the bathroom. It was one of the best experiences of my life. At first, I was skeptical.
Yeah.
But in this one Ryokan, they have a spa where and there's a tradition. So you need to read up on like how to wash yourself before you go in because there's a lot of different
rules. Yeah, you got
to
do the traditions right. Yeah.
Yeah, but one time I went in. So I went in the first day and I did it. And the next day I went down and went into the same one. And all of a sudden I'm in there, you know, scrubbing myself on the little stool. And a woman rolls in and screams. And I'm like, oh, my God, she just went into the wrong one. But it turns out that because I was in this hotel, this Ryokan, and one of the spas is nicer, every day they switch it. And I didn't see – I can't read Japanese. I can't read Japanese. So I went into the women's room.
Uh-huh.
And
You're really encouraging me to do this.
It was an experience I won't forget. But by the way, so what's I heard your last segment a little bit that you're looking for translations, and I figure you're going to use Google Translate.
Yeah, I'm not, but a caller was looking for a translator from Swedish to English. I'm pretty happy with Google Translate, but I don't know how much am I going to need that.
You're not, well, especially with, you're going with Talk and they have guides. You're not going to need it at all.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to, I never used it in Japan, although there are times that I probably could have, but if you're with a guide, you don't need to. But I did just quickly look up some other, another translation. It's called iTranslateVoice.com.
Okay.
And so it's mixed reviews on here. So it says 4 stars in Google Play and I think it was iOS, but I was reading some of the comments. Some of them are like, oh, it's not good. But anyway, I'd love to see your opinion. But you can translate 40 languages. It's instant. And it looked – and I watched the video online, and they had Lost in Translation, but their tagline was – and that same – their video was the same look and feel as the movie Lost in Translation.
Yeah.
But it said – but it said, don't get lost.
Don't
get.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty clever.
Nice. It is really remarkable. This software is just remarkable that we can use software that will near real time translate. And it does, my experience has been, it does a pretty good job, and it's getting better all the time. At first, translations were goofy.
Yeah.
But now they're pretty darn good.
It's changed in the world. 15 years ago or 10 years ago, I was in China and the taxi driver dropped me off at the wrong train station. I was late for a flight.
Oy.
And the only way I could communicate was putting my hands up like wings saying, I need to go to the airport. He's like, ah. and I used to carry a book.
Yeah, phrase book. You would have to carry the little Berlitz phrase book.
And I would just point.
Yeah.
Well, no, not even phrases.
Oh, and have pictures.
It was only pictures, and I would point to the what I needed.
That works.
And there's apps like that do that as well.
Nice.
So, but I mean, you're going to have the best time.
It's going to be fun.
By the way, what cell phone plan are you using, or are you planning?
Oh, I'm set on that. So a couple of things. Yeah, in fact, I did a little research. Apparently, Wi-Fi is expensive and not as widespread in Japan as it is here in the U.S. We're all T-Mobile, so we get unlimited slow internet. I'm on Google Fi, which has a similar thing. But I bought a device, a MiFi puck, that will let you get Wi-Fi everywhere.
Right.
It's called Skyroam. Are you familiar with that?
I don't know Skyroam, but I've used MiFis before.
So Skyroam, it's called the Skyroam Solus. I will come back and give you a review, but $8 a day for unlimited up to 5 devices. So that's, of course, a lot less expensive. Plus, it's high speed. It's 4G LTE. It has 16-hour battery life, which is important because I've had a MiFi before that dies after 5 or 6. That's kind of frustrating. Right. So what I'll do
The buses will have electrical outlets.
Okay. But what I'll do is I will have, you know, we're going with our 15-year-old. So Lisa and I and Michael will all be tuned into the well, I'll turn off data roaming on all the phones and tablets. Because there's a few iPads in the group too, and just use this Skyroam and say just pair with this, and I'll have it in my pocket. So basically, as we walk around, we'll have Wi-Fi everywhere we go. And I hear that the LTE is pretty fast in Japan.
It is. You know, you're not going to have to worry about the T-Mobile. I had it, you know, when I was there in December, and I don't recall ever not being able to connect.
Yeah, they say 2G, but my experience has been as I've used it over around the world that it's often faster than that. Sometimes
Correct.
Very slow. But often faster. So anyway, I think we're pretty well set. But I wanted to review this Skyroam. You can rent the device or buy it. I bought it $149, and then you buy day passes, which is you use a day pass. It's $8 a day, $8 or $9 a day, depending on when you buy it.
It'll be interesting to see how that goes. And did you buy travel insurance?
Of course.
Your travel agent usually.
She always.
And did
Jane
you go,
always goes to Allianz. I know.
She did go to Allianz.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Good. That is one of my sponsors. But
I know.
Even if you do the others, it's good. Just.
No,
it's
no,
good to
we're
get it,
protected.
But make sure, since you do have Allianz, make sure you download their app, Travel Smart, because what's good about their app is that it will show you which emergency services or the medical providers, which hospitals to go to. Also, if you need, if you get sick, you can contact them directly, although you're going to be with talk, so you're not going to need to worry about that. But also, 911 numbers, emergency numbers are not the same universal in Japan. For the police, it's 110. For ambulance or fire department, it's 119.
But this Travel Smart has all that information in it.
It does, but it's always good before you go to whatever country you go to, find out what the emergencies are. Yeah. And they should have them handy in your phone.
Yeah.
And that way, you know, or just have them handy in your head.
Well, we do have a few days on our own, you know, where we're not protected by a tour guide. So I mean, probably good to have all that stuff.
Yes. And, and I mentioned right before we went on the radio that get these fries. They're my favorite treat.
You get them at the airport, apparently.
At the airport. Potato Farm, they're called.
Potato Farm.
But they're like In-N-Out French fries, you know, but crispy.
We've been subscribing for some time to a Japanese monthly snack box that has the weirdest Japanese snacks. This is for Michael. He's kind of – one of the reasons we're going to Japan, he's fascinated with the manga. So he and his friends eat these weird snacks.
Like red bean and stuff.
Well,
I'm not into that.
Something weird. I wish we'd get these – what is it? Potato Farm fries. I might wish we'd get those.
Yeah. So, but I only find them in the airport. Whenever I go to a store in the city, they're like, I don't know.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But they go off like hotcakes in the airport. People are buying five boxes, and they usually have a minimum. A maximum. You can't only buy five.
So I've got Travel Smart on here. You got a website or an app or anything else I should know about?
I have another app called Brightly.
Brightly.
So, yeah, I've had it in my notes for a while to tell you about it. So I usually use Adobe Photoshop or Snapseed when I'm brightening up my photos, because you know, everyone on Instagram is always touching up their photos, and you can do it in the app as well. Yeah. But Brightly, it does a good job just brightening them up, because you could be taking a dark photo and you're like, oh, this photo's no good. You delete it. Don't delete it. At least try it with this app. It used to be free. They're now charging $2.99. But
That's not bad.
I find Snapseed very difficult to use. I mean, do you use Snapseed at all?
Yeah. I'm going to actually do a blog post about my whole photo workflow, because it's going to be kind of kooky over there. Yeah. Johnny, we are out of time, but thank you. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More of your calls coming up right after this. Right. We're missing the cherry blossoms. I'm sad to say it was early this year, and it's already over everywhere we're going. So
that's too bad.
Yeah, I know. I'm disappointed. Talc only does this for 2 weeks in April, but apparently they're going to have to move their dates because they're missing the cherry blossoms.
Well, was it for the cherry blossoms?
Well, I figure if they only do two trips a year in the spring, it must be they're trying to hit the Sakura Festival.
You can buy
Potato Farm Japanese snacks on eBay.
and actually, there's now a U.S. version, and American Airlines in first class serves it. It's called Whole Cuts, and they're same company, but the potatoes are from America, not Japan, and they taste different.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo, the phone number. Love to hear from you. If you want to talk high tech, that's what I'm here to do. Line 4, David, Hollywood, California. Hi, David. Come on over to the phone, David. You're on the air. He's been on hold for a while, so I wouldn't be surprised if he's drifted off. I hear myself in the background.
Oh, are you calling David?
Yeah, it's you. Welcome.
Okay, thank you, Leo.
Yeah, thanks for your patience. I'm sorry to keep you on hold for so long.
Oh, it was quite charming, delightful to hear about your plans to go to Japan. And my wife is Japanese, so I've been there.
Oh, neat. Oh, I'm jealous. Yeah.
Yeah. So Tokyo, it's a city that personally, I'm in love with, and there's so many things to do over there. You will enjoy being 404 some floors up in the sky when the sky tree tower.
Yeah, we're going on that. That's brand new. Yeah, I can't wait to see that. That's amazing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's just incredible. I mean, to be 400 some floors up in the air, it's unbelievable.
Wow.
So you'll enjoy it very much. I can tell you a lot about it, you know, and one place you need to go and see the Sakura
I think we missed it, unfortunately. We're a little late. I was looking at the Sakura prediction, and the blossoms have all fallen from the trees.
No, that's not true.
Last year
I went about this time, and you know where I found them? Takayama, where? Because it's high altitude, so the flowers have more time to enjoy the blooming and all that. Well,
maybe they'll take us up into the mountains. That would be great.
So that place, Takayama, you need to go. It's beautiful. You will enjoy it.
This is the problem. We only have 2 weeks. I want to go everywhere. We're looking forward to it. By the way, I should mention, we are going to have all new shows. Don't worry. There will be no reruns. We've pre-recorded a couple of weekends worth of shows. And Rich DeMuro from KTLA will be filling in for me in 2 weeks. So I know you love him, and he will be doing the Tech Guy show in a couple of weeks. So don't worry. No reruns for you. Nothing but new stuff. What can I do for you, my friend? I appreciate your info.
Yeah, well, basically, I want to talk about Dell and the Alienware laptops.
Okay.
Computers.
Okay.
And basically, I want for high-end for post-production because I'm a filmmaker, and so I use it for editing and audio repair, and I think I talked to you a little bit about that.
Yeah.
A while back.
Yeah.
But the Alienware tech support, which is in Costa Rica. I think that it's just deplorable. One day I spent 7 hours trying to negotiate going back and forth to try to reach the tech support. But that's not the main deal. That whole thing is that this computer, into 6 months, it started giving problems. And I contacted tech support, and they send their guy to replace many guys now, replace various parts, including motherboard, batteries, and this is a brand new computer, the top of the line, Alienware, 17-inch for R4, and just to my dismay, just a few days ago, I talked to tech support, and because they want to replace it with a refurbished one, and I said, no, I want a new one,
right?
Because it's a brand new. Listen. All the parts that we have replaced on that computer are used, or what they call, quote-unquote, refurbished.
Yeah, that's a practice of a lot of – they're not allowed to sell as new a computer with refurbished parts. But when you have warranty repairs, that's very common. And the reason is they get whole computers back that are fine in every respect except for maybe the screen's bad or whatever. And they will just reuse those parts. I know it'd be ideal to have them use new parts, but it's not at all an uncommon practice.
Also, it's a common practice. Yeah. I was shocked, and I thought it was
Illegal. It would be illegal for them to sell as new a computer with refurbished parts. So, if you think that's happening, you should then contact the PUC or whoever it is, the Consumer Protection. I don't know if we have any anymore, but if we had any Consumer Protection, I would contact them. But it is not illegal for a repair to use refurbished parts.
Hello, Leo.
Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me? Hello?
Oh, okay, I can hear you now.
Yeah. It's not illegal to do that if you're doing it for repairs. In fact, it's not uncommon. They should tell you, though. I think that would be the right thing to do.
Yeah, because I was shocked. How can you be putting – my computer hasn't been working fine at all. That's where we get to reach this conclusion that the computer has to be replaced.
Yeah.
And, it's shocking. So I thought many Alienware – because a lot of folks use it for gaming, and I'm not a gamer. I'm just basically post-production and editing.
We use Dell workstations for our. We have 8 edit stations for our podcast network, and have used Dell Precision workstations for all of that. And as far as I know, they've been extremely reliable. So I can't speak to Alienware. Okay. That was a gaming brand that Dell acquired some years ago. Those are definitely Dell. But I have to say, we have had good results with all of our Dell gear. So. But it does happen, right? You get a lemon, and it is, I agree with you, it is reprehensible to replace it with kind of older non-working parts. It's not unusual. As I said, they can't sell as new or even characterize as new a part that of any computer that's been sold and returned. In fact, it's a good way. Dell has a whole outlet store. It's a good way to get good deals on Dell computers. Go to the outlet store because most of the time those are brand new computers that were purchased, opened, and returned quickly because it wasn't right or whatever. Dell can't sell them as new, so you get them as a good discount, but it's as good as new. However, you know, obviously, if you're having a lot of trouble getting this computer fixed, and one of the problems is that they're not using new parts in there, yeah, that's not right. I have no fix for you. I haven't had any trouble with that myself, and we use a lot of Dell gear, but that's not right. I wonder if that's unique to the Alienware line, or if they do it. I would check to see if there's a way you can say, "Hey, guys, I want new parts in there. I don't want refurbished parts." It's not the first time I've heard this, and I really don't know what the answer to this. Let me see here. Somebody's just Scooter X. Thank you, Scooter, in the chat room has passed along the Dell warranty terms and conditions. Well, I would look at this. Does this say that they use new parts? Or does it not? I bet it doesn't. I will read this. I don't have time. It's many pages, and I'm not a lawyer. Hey, I'm sorry that's happened to you. At least you have the satisfaction of telling the world. David, I'm sorry that this has gone on. In general, I think maybe that the key here is not to get Alienware, which is gaming hardware, for video editing, but get the Dell workstations for video editing. That's what we did, and we've had great results. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, another hour to come. Stay right here. Hey, a quick mention of our sponsor for the podcast today. I love these guys. This is the first toothbrush to win Time Magazine's Best Invention of the Year. I sent my daughter a Quip. She said, I was so pleased. My daughter's 26. She said, Dad, I think it's time. I'm ready for an electric toothbrush. I said, honey, I got you covered. And I got her the Quip, and you know, she loves it. The Quip is a better electric toothbrush. First of all, really affordable. It does everything you need. In fact, it's a beautifully designed electric toothbrush. I love the way that you can take the Quip little holder. See how compact it is? And it's got a adhesive patch on the back. You put that right on your mirror, put the Quip there, and you're ready to go. You won't forget to brush your teeth. It's got just the right kind of soft bristles with rubber bristles around it. It does, of course, the 30-second... reminder, 30-second guiding pulses. So you do each of the four quadrants of your mouth for 30 seconds each. That's what dentists recommend. And it's battery powered. And so when we travel, this is what we take with us as well, because you don't need to take a charger. You just put a AA battery in here and it's ready to go. It goes, I don't know, I haven't been able to use up the battery. It goes a long time on a single AA. That is really nice. And because the thing that cleans your mouth should always be clean, Quip's subscription plan refreshes your brush on a dentist-recommended schedule, delivering new brush heads every 3 months, just $5 for the brush heads, plus free shipping worldwide. No chargers, no wires. Quip is compact. It's light. It's a great travel toothbrush. We keep extra ones in the house for when kids come over. They always forget their toothbrushes when they come for sleepovers. We're ready. Quip is backed by a network of over 10,000 dental professionals. You even get, I love this book you get with the Quip mailer that tells you how to brush. Even I learned things like wash, but don't rinse. What? Yes, don't rinse your mouth. Wash the toothbrush after you brush, but don't rinse your mouth to give the toothpaste time to work. Comes with a great tasting fluoride toothpaste, by the way. Fresh taste, strengthens teeth, gives your mouth the perfect minty clean feeling. I just love this. When I bought it for Abby, of course, I got her the subscription, so she'll always have new toothpaste and new brushes every 3 months. Mint. I can smell it right now. I love it. Go to getquip.com/twit. Quip starts at $25. Compare that to the other electric toothbrushes. And if you go to getquip.com/twit right now, You get your first refill pack free when you purchase any Quip electric toothbrush. Get quip.com/twit. GETQUIP.com/twit. Get quip.com/twit. Time Magazine, one of their best inventions of the year, and I agree 100%. Get quip.com/twit. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers and the internet and home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches. 888-ASK-LEO, 888-827-5536. That's the number if you want to call in and talk high tech. I'd love to hear from you. 888-ASK-LEO. You can call and ask a question, but you can also comment about previous questions, about what's going on in the world of tech today. I'd love to hear from anybody with anything to say at 888-827-5536. Outside of the U.S. and Canada, it's still toll-free if you use Skype out or something like that. We also have a great website where we put all the things we talk about. James DeRuvo's writing them down, putting up links, techguylabs.com, so you don't have to remember anything. Just go there. That's all you have to remember, techguylabs.com. No sign-up necessary. We don't want your email address. I don't care about that. I'm not following you around on Facebook. TechGuyLabs.com. Now, back to the phones. Let's see here. On line two, I've got Jeremy in Birmingham, Alabama. Hello, Jeremy.
No, it's Jerry. But
Jerry,
Leo, thank you
sorry.
So much.
Hi, Jerry.
Hey, I'm 65. I was in Japan the first time when I was 18. On a USO tour, and I've been probably now 50 times.
Holy
playing
cow.
Music. Yeah, I love it.
That's nice.
Playing music, and currently I'm working with a Japanese artist over there. I was there about 2 weeks ago working on our new CD. And but I was going to tell you, there's a place you've got to go, a couple of places I want you to go to. Yodobashi, 9-story tech store. But on like the first floor, they were promoting. They had a big display of a handheld translator, and so if you go to Yodobashi and tell them you're looking for a Japanese English translator. The other thing, though, when you come out, are you going into Narita?
Yes, we are. Well, we're going to Osaka first. We'll end in Tokyo, so it'll unfortunately be the end of the trip, not the beginning.
Okay. Well, Osaka is awesome. You're going to have a great time. It's very different. The attitude. Like, for example, when you're in the subway in Tokyo, you stand on the left and walk up on the right if people want to pass you. In Osaka, it's the opposite.
Isn't that strange? They drive on the left, but...
Oh, yeah. And listen, the number... I tell all my friends, go to Japan. But the most dangerous thing is crossing the street.
You got to look left.
You've got to look left.
I'm practicing.
Okay. Listen, do you know that Winston Churchill in 1931 was struck and spent, I think, 3 months in a New York hospital? And that would have changed.
Because he always looked left instead of looking right.
He looked left. He stepped right out in front of a car and was hurt badly.
I did not
but
know
when
that.
When you go to Skytree, I think you'll be on the Hanzamon Purple Line. And about 5 stops or 6 stops away from Skytree, going back towards downtown, is the Mitsukoshi department store. It's a very old and beautiful place. Your wife will really love the department stores. I know you're going to have a great time. I took my son when he was 15. He's now 33, and we spent 3 weeks, and we just had a great time. But everywhere you go is going to be exciting and new and interesting. And you'll want to go back. And I encourage people to go to Japan all the time. It's a wonderful destination.
Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate that. Tell me about your music. What do you perform?
I work with a guy named Kunio Kishida. We met in 1978. And I also worked with Brenda Lee. I was her bass player for 10 years.
Wow.
Brenda is very popular in Japan to this day.
No kidding.
We went in the 80s. We would go almost every Christmas and do like a dinner show. We would do back-to-back dinner shows. But I met Kunio in 1978, and then we have just completed, we're working on our 11th studio CD, and we've done about 3 live CDs. The Allman Brothers have taken him under their arms, and we'll be at the Allman Brothers Festival in Macon, Georgia, late September. I think it's the 23rd.
What fun! But, what fun!
Oh, it's been a wonderful, wonderful thing. All these, you know, music is wonderful. But in the meantime, after I left Brenda, I was a heavy metal. I was the roadie basically for a heavy metal rock band that a friend of mine owned. And then I went back to school, became a school teacher, and retired in August. But the school teaching gave me time to have a lot of time in Japan. So I've had a wonderful career in music and teaching, and it's been awesome.
Isn't that great? Well, it's nice. It's a pleasure meeting you, Jerry.
You too. Thank you so much, Leo, and have a great trip.
All right. I can't wait. I'm
you're
excited.
Love it.
And by the way, my friend Alex Lindsay, who's also a camera buff, has already said, oh, you got to go to Yodobashi. You got to go.
You will not believe it. It's wonderful. But that area, by the way, that is in Akihabara.
Yes.
The 9-story one.
I'm going to be living in Akihabara for at least a day.
You will be.
All the gear, all the tech gear, and a lot of stuff. He told me that Yodobashi has cameras you can't get in the U.S. You may never even
be
seen.
No, he's right. Yeah. He's absolutely right. And, one more thing. My friend, his brother came to America. We did the Route 66 tour together. And about a week into the tour, he was going absolutely crazy for potato sticks. And I couldn't understand. I mean, literally, he was
things must be really good. I mean, I can't believe people are getting all excited about a snack.
I know. Most of the convenience stores have these, by the way. So if you see a convenience store, go in there and check it out.
I'll be definitely trying some potato farm snacks while I'm there.
Listen, have a great time.
Thanks,
great
Jerry. Trip. Very kind of you to call. I appreciate it. Yeah, the Akihabara has been for many, many decades famous for electronics. And all the geeks, when they go to Tokyo, say, oh, you got to go to Akihabara. Got to go there. So I will make sure I make a journey there and see if I can find some interesting gadgets and gizmos. Oh, I don't think I have enough time in the show to... I don't. We're going to take a break, but we will be back. Take more of your calls. Hour number 3 of the Tech Guy Show coming up right after this. Ask Leo. The phone number. Back to the phones we go. Line 1 is Charles in Gainesville, Georgia. Hi, Charles.
Hey, how you doing? Enjoy your program.
Thank you.
An old-fashioned question for an old-fashioned problem.
Yeah.
This is going to date me. I used to have an old Radio Shack clock radio that also had a cassette tape player on that I could record off of the air on it.
I used to do that all the time, yeah.
Yes. But I have a radio station that I like to listen to, but they don't do podcasts. They do highlights, okay? But I would like to record that radio station on their website, okay, off on the web, and record it at set the machine up so it turns it on, connects to the radio station, starts at the right time and all that sort of stuff, and ends at the right time.
Yep.
Do you know of any software that does that?
I do. First of all, I should mention C. Crane, who is not a sponsor, but I love Bob Crane so much. Even though he's consistently refused to sponsor this show, I consistently recommend his stuff. He makes, it's not a cassette anymore, but a little radio with an SD card. So if you wanted to go back to that old hardware system, he makes one that'll do exactly that. It's just like, basically, it's a DVR for radio. But you can also do it on your computer. You have to leave your computer on, obviously.
No problem.
Company called Applian, Applian.com. For years, they've made something that I've recommended because it just really works, called Replay Radio. And it's exactly what you just described. It sits on your Windows 10 machine, and it will wait till the time comes, and then it will subscribe. Now, they used to sell this as a software package. They now charge a subscription fee. I think that a lot of companies are doing this because they realize they sell the package once and then they never make any more money. So it's $2.95 a month or $30 a year. You know, it's up to you. They do have a free trial. I would try the free version, make sure it does everything you want it to do first.
Okay. Yeah.
But this
is an old-fashioned request, but it's still useful.
A lot of people do it. I'm glad they do. The good news is most radio stations now are doing podcasts, which basically means they record it for you.
Right.
And I think that's great. Our show is a podcast for many of the stations it's carried on, and I love that. But
Yeah, Apley and Replay Radio. It's exactly what you're looking for.
Well, listen, thank you very much, and have a good time on your trip.
Thank you, and keep listening. As I said, we'll have brand new material. I've been—I don't know if you've noticed, but I mentioned this a couple of times. I'm recording calls after the show so that we have a whole new show for you next weekend. The weekend after, Rich DeMuro from KTLA. He's great. He's their tech guy. He will be hosting the show on Saturday and Sunday next weekend. And then May 5th, we have another show that, again, all new material that I put together for you. And I'll be back on May 6th from Japan. I promise not to talk too much about it. I promise. I might bring a thing or two back, a gadget or a gizmo or two back, just to show those off. Brian in Indio is next. Hi, Brian. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Welcome.
I got a question about routers.
Okay.
I've heard you talking about them lately. You say they should be replaced at least once a year.
Yeah, well, I don't know if once a year, but the problem is people are using routers they bought 8 years ago. And they do – a couple of things happen. Of course, that, you know, as with all technology, new stuff comes out. But they also, frankly, wear out, I think, a little bit. That's one of the things people don't expect. A router is a solid-state device. It feels like, well, that should never wear out. But they do. And I think one of the indicators in routers wearing out, one of the ways you can kind of tell is if they're hot. So go feel your router. Is it warm? It is if you are using it a lot. If you don't use it a lot, it's not doing a lot of, you know, work. Maybe it's pretty cool. Maybe it'll last a little bit longer. But if you, and nowadays we do, we, you know, when you first got that router, probably you got it because you had, you know, one or two computers and you wanted to share the internet connection. That's how people get routers in the first place, right? You put a router on your cable modem or your DSL modem and that shares the bandwidth out, right? So that you can have more than one device use it. It turns out it has some real value, too, because it protects you. It's kind of the first line of defense against the outside world. Attacks to your network hit the router. And in most cases, routers are so dumb, they just ignore them, you know, unless there's a security flaw. And that, by the way, is a very important point. When you're buying a new router, a couple of things you want to look at. You want to look at a router that is firmware upgradable. Most routers are, but even more than that, you want to look at a router that is that the manufacturer is going to update for you, because otherwise you have to remember, you have to pay attention, you have to know when there's a security flaw and go out and proactively get that fix. No, you nowadays any Internet of Things device, and a router is absolutely an Internet of Things device. It's a small dumb device that connects to the outside world. Anything you buy in your house, if you're doing that, doorbell, toaster oven, refrigerator, Amazon Echo, they all should automatically update. So the manufacturer finds a flaw, he fixes it. And you want to get it from a reliable manufacturer that, in fact, is paying attention. So these are all things you're going to think about. If your router is fairly old, the other reason you might want a new router, not merely that it slows down, if yours disconnects a lot, that's a sign. But also, there's new technologies. You know, Wi-Fi routers, which most people are buying these days. Wi-Fi, there's a, you know, 802.11ac, which came out a couple of years ago. We haven't had anything new since then. So if you have a two-year-old router, you're probably up to date. That's why I don't think you need to buy one every year. But, you know, I would say probably if you've got a router that's 3 or 4 years old or older, it wouldn't be a bad idea to look. Now, here's the bad thing. You're going to go out. The last router cost you $40. You're going to get a little sticker shock because today's best routers are not inexpensive. I used to recommend the Apple router. That was $200, and I thought that was a lot. I was at an Apple store yesterday. They're still selling those things. They haven't updated them in years. Don't get an Apple router. They're not the best. Asus makes excellent routers. I'm very happy with the Asus routers. Netgear makes excellent routers. TP-Link, that Archer C7, is the low-cost price leader, but it's a very good router. In all those cases, they do update those. My favorite, a sponsor I should mention, is Eero. And Eero is a whole new category of routers. These are the so-called mesh routers. Generally, when you buy these, you're going to get a home base station and one, two, or more satellite units. And these, whether it's Eero, Velop is one, the Linksys one. There's Plume. I use those as well. Netgear has the Orbi. These new mesh routers solve problems that are kind of newer with Wi-Fi. The problem of congestion. You're using many, many more devices than you did back when it was just a two or three computers. That's one of the reasons the router is getting hot these days, because there's a lot of bandwidth going through it. But also your neighbors are using Wi-Fi. And you probably, if you go to your Wi-Fi settings in your phone or your computer, you probably see more than a few other Wi-Fi access points. So good modern routers need ways to reject that excess traffic. It could really slow your router down. One of the reasons routers drop out is the nature of Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi always drops out, by the way, because Wi-Fi is set up that if there is another Wi-Fi system and it's transmitting, they're very polite. Wi-Fi, your Wi-Fi router say, "Oh, sorry," to your neighbor. "Oh, I didn't realize you were talking. I'll just shut up now." And they let your neighbor talk. And that's dropout. That means your Wi-Fi router stops working for a random period of time and then starts up again. "Can I talk now?" And if there's no other conversation, it talks. And your neighbor's Wi-Fi goes, "Oop, I'll shut up." So those little dropouts, that's when you start to see buffering, when you start to see freezing, when you start to see issues. So a good Wi-Fi router is more impervious to that kind of cross-traffic. There are lots of solutions. I don't want to get too technical about how they work. But these mesh routers are designed to handle that kind of situation, handle multiple devices attached. And most importantly, all of them update automatically from the manufacturer, often frequently. I get Eero updates every week or two. And that usually is bug fixes, security issues, but also feature updates. So now, I told you sticker shock. You're talking a couple of hundred, maybe $300 for a good mesh system. But it's worth it. It really is. If you have connection issues, these new mesh systems really will help. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More of your calls right after this. Oh, kind of sad to hear that. The theme song, of course, for Coast to Coast, for many years hosted by the great Art Bell. Art Bell passed away yesterday, Friday the 13th. I prefer to think of him as abducted by aliens, he spoke so often about on his Coast to Coast AM show. One of the greats, a legend in radio, Art Bell, passed away at the age of 72 yesterday. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number. I know a lot of you listened. Of course, he was on the Premier Radio Network, as we are. And I never got to meet the man. I wish I had. I was at a dinner for C. Crane, for Bob Crane, where Bob was showing us this new thing he was so excited about called an LED light bulb. Oh, he was so excited. And Art was supposed to be there, but he decided to take a nap instead. And that's all right with me. But I'm sorry I never got a chance to meet truly a legend in broadcasting. Back to the phones. Let's go to Indio, California. Brian on the line. Hello, Brian. Are you there, Brian? Oh, I hear the hiss of a open line, but, you know, as often happens, I guess Brian fell asleep. I think I put people to sleep sometime. Let's try Bernie. Hi, Benny. There we go, Benny in Pasadena. I hear you. Hi, Benny.
Hey, how you doing, Leo? My question is about a printer.
Okay.
I'm looking for an all-in-one.
An all-in-one? You
know, printing, copying, scanning. Even faxing.
Yeah. So there are a lot of companies that make all-in-ones. I'll tell you the one I use, and I should also give you a disclaimer, as I often do, that they are a sponsor. I love my Epsons.
Yes.
Epson, I have Epson.
That.
Yeah, Epson Workforce. They're really great. I have them at the office. They also make a something they call the Eco Tanks, which a lot of people like because they don't have ink cartridges. They have ink tanks. They're inkjet printers, but instead of having to go out and buy cartridges all the time, you get about something like 2 years of ink. I actually don't know how long. I haven't run out of ink in a long time. So, but they say up to 2 years of ink. It's about 50, 60 cartridge sets worth. So that's a convenience if you print a lot. I do have to say that inkjet is not great if you don't print a lot. Inkjet printers will often get gunged up if you don't print. How often do you print?
Not very often.
Yeah. So then you might want to look at a laser printer. Lasers can go, you know, weeks without printing because they use a different technology. They don't have ink. They have toner, and it doesn't get gummed up. And the good news is, it used to be laser printing was very, very expensive, but the price has gone down. But where lasers aren't so good, they do make color lasers, but it's business color, kind of, you know, for charts and graphs, not so much for printing really nice, colorful stuff, certainly not for photo printing. So if you're doing photo printing, then you almost certainly want an inkjet that's photo capable. If you don't mind about, you know, the color not being bright and vivid and jumping out at you, a color laser jet, or better yet, a black and white laser jet, you can get black and white laser printers. I call them laser jet. Isn't that funny? That's actually the HP brand name. I shouldn't be using that. Laser. It's for years, HP owned that market. But of course, everybody makes laser printers. So there are laser all-in-ones as well. I would still, you know, tempted to turn you towards our sponsor because I really believe in Epson quality and so forth. I really like their stuff. So, but if you look at Epson all-in-one, you'll see quite a big variety and quite a number of price points.
So you're suggesting the ecological one is
it's called the Eco Tank. It's, again, if you don't print a lot, it's probably not a good printer for you because it's really designed for lots of printing. That's why you'd want a lot of ink. I don't think an inkjet's good for somebody who's not printing all the time, to be honest with you. So if you're not printing all the time, look at a laser printer, an all-in-one laser. But they're not that expensive. You know, lasers used to be very, very expensive. And now laser all-in-ones, you can probably start pretty comparable to the inkjet. One of the reasons inkjets were cheap, and I don't really recommend the super cheap inkjets, is because they would get you in the cartridge. It's like giving away the razor and then making it up in the blades.
Yeah.
So stay away from those, if you ask me. Let me see. I'm going to look at what PC Magazine. In fact, I'll put this in a link on our chat room. Has a review of the best all-in-one printers of 2018. Of course, they recommend the Epson Workforce, which I also like. But it looks like Brother makes some good laser solutions as well. So that's probably what I would look at. I'll put a link in the show notes. The best all-in-one printers of 2018. It's from PC Magazine. PC Magazine is good because they do all of them, right? They try them all. All right. Tom is on the line now from Palmdale, Riverside, California. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Leo.
Welcome.
I got a problem with an older Samsung phone. It's a Galaxy S4. And up to about 2 weeks ago, I had no problem with it, but now it won't connect to my computer. I get a message about it can't locate any software to connect to, and it recommended downloading keys or Kais.
Yeah, Samsung Keys is their software to do that with. It's an S4, and you're connected to a Windows machine?
Yes.
Okay. The thing about the S4 is I can't remember. You know, on modern Samsung phones, you just go into the settings and you say, I want you to connect. You might still check this on the S4. I had an S4. I just don't remember. If you go in the settings and go to the USB section, and you can select how to connect the phone, whether you want to connect it as a camera, which is PTP mode, photo transfer protocol mode, or if you want to connect it as a drive, which is MTP mode for mass media transfer protocol, MTP. Is it that you want to copy stuff onto the phone? What exactly do you want to do?
Yeah, well, I use the camera on the phone. It has a decent camera, and I want to upload them to my computer.
Right.
And now I can't do that.
Well, see in the Bluetooth,
and I want to put it on the phone, and can't do that either.
Yeah, you don't need keys if you can put the phone in Bluetooth into PTP, photo transfer protocol mode. So look in your USB settings. I said Bluetooth, I think. I meant USB. You're connecting it via cable, I presume, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's USB. So you connect it via USB cable, and then normally on the phone, on now modern Android, it'll say, oh, I see you've connected via a cable. I'm going to assume that you want to do this for charging, but if you want to copy files over, let me know, It also has a debugging mode if you've got the developer mode turned on. You want PTP, then it'll look just like a camera to your Windows 10 machine. And Windows 10, unless you've turned off the auto, this might be also what's the problem. Is there's a setting that auto run when you plug in your camera, auto run a photo imaging program, and that may be turned off. That's if you want to look at your Windows settings, hit Windows key and type auto run. You can see what the auto run settings are for that phone. Okay. So, but then you can still get Keys if you want, K-I-E-S. That is software Samsung offers. I don't like to install it. If you don't have to, there's no reason to. But if it's still complaining, Keys might make it simpler. You can get it from Samsung. Just search for Samsung K-I-E-S. It works on Windows 10. And it's the same idea. It will automatically, it's smart. It actually communicates with the phone, and it'll automatically put the phone into a photograph mode. So you can use Keys to transfer contacts, photos, music, videos. I think it's also nice because you can get messages if you want to save your text messages. Anything you've got on your S4, Keys will move off. So I'll put a link in the show notes to Keys as well, as long as we're putting stuff up in the show notes. Let me put that in the chat room. You can download that and install it. And that will help. But you don't need Keys because unless this is something that Samsung added after the S4, which is possible, the phone itself should show up as a storage device or as a camera just via the standard USB drivers. Keys installs special drivers. 8888 Ask Leo, the Gizwiz. Dick DiBartolo coming up with a gizmo right after this. Could be a bad USB cable. I guess you're right. I didn't think of that. Tech Guy Show, the Tech Guy Podcast, I should say, brought to you today by those folks. Uh-oh, bad news at TurboTax. Tuesday, April 17th. Have you done yours, Scott?
I'm done. I haven't printed them yet.
Yep, got to do them. The nice thing about TurboTax is you can file electronically. You can wait right up to midnight and file it like 11:59 p.m. if you want. No waiting in the line at post office. But I love TurboTax. Now, I know I just finished my mom's taxes. It's a really great feeling. It's actually very easy. TurboTax, what's nice is every year, if you use it every year as I do, it automatically copies all the data from the old tax return, saving you a lot of data entry steps. Plus, they have automated entry for a lot of the things you do. I have her, you know, call up for her IRA and download all that information. It's automatically imported. That saves you in errors and typing in stuff. It also speeds the process up. It literally takes 10 minutes for me to do my mom's taxes. And this year, I'm doing my daughter's taxes as well. She got her first W-2 form. Filled it in. I was happy to say, Abby, you don't owe any tax. Nice feeling. And then you just press a button and boom, it's sent off to the feds, to the state. You're done. TurboTax has added one new feature that I think a lot of people will appreciate. They call this TurboTax Live. It gives you a personal review of your tax return with a CPA or an EA, an enrolled agent is a trained tax preparer, right on your screen. See, I'm lucky. I have an EA in the family. My wife's an EA. But if she weren't, I would connect. Actually, I'm going to do this for my mom because she comes back and asks questions. And I just want, Mom, I set it up. You got TurboTax Live. You can talk to her. You connect to a tax expert. Mom will like this as one-way video. She always wants to fix her hair before she'll talk to me on FaceTime. I said, Mom, you don't need to. No, I've got to put on some makeup. She gets one-way video, no makeup necessary to talk to a tax expert. And you can do it more than once, as often as you need, for answers and advice on your taxes. Now that the new tax bill is in effect for 2018, we're going to have to think about tax planning. They can help you with that. You can even have the expert review your return before you file and make any necessary changes. And I know it's just a couple of days off. That's fine. That's fine. This is TurboTax was invented for people like me who wait till the last minute. TurboTaxLive.com/tech guy. And actually what I do is I'm going to send this to my mom. I don't want to show her address, but I've got it printed and ready to send to mom. These are the vouchers for the estimated tax for next year. Printed them all out. Going to mail it to her. Send this one off to the state of Rhode Island and we're done. But e-file is so great. Push a button. You get a little email back saying your return has been accepted. It just feels good. Get it done. Do it this weekend. TurboTaxLive.com/tech guy and get the advice you need. So when you file, you can say, yeah, I did a pretty good job. Yeah. TurboTaxLive.com tech guy. KC and the Sunshine Band bringing us another episode of the Giz Whiz. Mad Magazine's maddest rated Dick D. Bartolo, disco dude. He's wearing his satin shirt, his cornu, his chains. He's looking good. The tight white pants with bell bottoms. You look sharp. Those zip up half boots. Man, you look good, Dickie D.
Yeah, well, I'll mail him back to you. But thanks for lending
him. He's wearing my John Travolta Halloween costume, I think.
Exactly.
Dick D. Bartolo, as I said, Mad's maddest writer, and he joins us every week, which is a great honor for me because I grew up reading Mad Magazine. I always loved that. And Dick joins us every week to talk about a gizmo or gadget. Now, are you going to do me another travel gadget? Because I purchased everything you've talked about so far.
Oh, okay. So I have another travel gadget. Okay. This is a little saner than
the seat covers.
The tray for your window and the seat covers.
The armrest divider. Yeah, okay.
Are you a water flossing person?
No, you like a water pick?
Yeah.
No, I just use the string that comes around my packages.
Oh, okay.
I find that works perfectly well.
Well, then this may not be for you, but I have been a water flossing person since they came out, I think, in the 60s.
Water pick, right?
It was Water pick, exactly. So Water pick, it's about probably 6 weeks ago, introduced a new gadget called Water pick Sidekick for travelers.
Oh.
And this is a really neat little guy. So the entire unit slides into a plastic case. And when you open it, the plastic case turns out to be
the reservoir.
What you fill with water.
Yes.
Yep, the reservoir. And then it runs on AC power, so they can get plenty of power out of it. There are five settings for it. But when I unpacked it and took the cord out, I go, well, it's AC, but there's no plug. And I'm thinking, well, this is ridiculous. And I go through the box again, and I don't know what maybe turned the unit over, but on the back, it turns out the plug is built in.
Oh, that's nice.
And the plug slides out, and then you connect it to the cord, but the plug is held in magnetically.
Oh, even nicer. That's really
so that you can't lose it. It's really good looking. So they make three different units. There's enough water in there. I think it was 13 ounces you can floss for a full minute. They said
this is pretty compact. That whole thing was in that little pouch?
That whole thing fits in that little pouch. Now, the one thing I have is that they say 1,400 pulses a minute. Well, Leo, I got 1,399 the first night.
I hate
that
when that happens.
I know. And then 1,398 the second night. But then the third night, I got 1,410.
Oh, okay. Oh,
so, you know, so average. And that's hard to do. Let me tell you that. You got to know how to count fast.
This is so compact. And, you know, it's kind of pretty.
Yeah, I think it's really handsome.
Yeah. It's kind of copper and black.
Yeah, exactly. Or you can get it in white. And for some strange reason, they also make it in rose and white, which is like $20 more.
Yeah.
So suggested retail is, I think, $129. At the press event, someone said, will Amazon discount it? And the WaterPik representative said, Amazon discounts everything.
They did. It's $110. Did. Yeah.
Right. And there's a $15 coupon, so it drops it down to...
Do you get free instant water?
The water is sold separately. That's the trick. You know, it's like the printer and the cartridge.
Yeah, for travel, I like the little instant water packets. So you just you rip them open, you put them in a glass, and you add some water. And
it's really nice. They're great. Yeah. They're
really
great.
Saves space. Yeah,
it does.
Yeah.
And you don't have trouble with the TSA that way.
No, that's right. Yeah, because it's so dehydrated. There's no water, so they don't mind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And on the airplane, you can drink it dehydrated and hope for the best.
Well, I found you could even put it in your mouth and then add some water, and you're good. So you can rehydrate in your mouth.
Wow.
Yeah, I know that's a real time saver.
That is, boy. you tech guys, you just know all the little tricks.
Oh, I got the tricks. I got the tricks. If you go to gizwiz.biz, this is another good trick. You can click the button that says the Gizwiz visits the tech guy, and you can read all about this new water pick, the traveling edition. But you can also, at gizwiz.biz, click the button that says what the heck is it, and you'll play the what the heck is it contest, a chance to win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine. There's a little more time to play with this episode.
Yes, you'll be getting Mad number one.
Mad One from the West Coast.
Exactly.
That makes me mad. When you say mad, by the way, I've always meant to ask you, is it mad angry or is it mad insane?
I think mad insane. Just mad insane.
Mad. Sometimes mad angry.
I could, yeah, occasionally.
Occasionally, yeah. Dick has been in every single Mad magazine for many years and will continue on, I should point out, even though the magazines moved to the West Coast, and Dick has never set foot off the island of Manhattan.
That's correct.
You have. From time to time, you will venture as far as Upper New York State, but that's it.
I have done that, yeah.
Have you been to New Jersey ever? I hear it's nice this time of year.
I've been to New Jersey by boat because I know I'm coming home.
Gizwiz.biz. Thank you, Dickie D.
Okay, buddy.
Oh, I got a little Broadway recommendation for you, by the way.
Oh, go ahead.
There's a Broadway show that is previewing right now in San Francisco that'll be coming to your neck of the woods in the summer, in June. It's called Head Over Heels. And I know I know you love musicals, and I know it's the music of the Go-Go's. And it is, I know you liked Something Rotten. It's kind of like that. It's hysterical. It's fun.
Oh, great.
You're going to love it. A great cast. It's called Head Over Heels. Just something you should see when it comes to time.
I will look for it. Yeah,
we saw it last night and we had so much fun. It was the third night of the preview. I realized rather than seeing Broadway shows after their hits and then come to San Francisco, I could go see shows that are previewing in San Francisco before they go to New York. And that's kind of more fun that way. You don't know what you're going to get, but...
No, and it's probably cheaper.
Yeah. It's a lot cheaper. It's also a nicer theater, oddly enough.
Oh, okay.
Gizwiz.biz, everybody. And don't forget Dick's fabulous podcast, gizwiz.tv. We'll see you, Dickie D.
Have a super trip.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll see you in a few weeks.
Okay.
Although, don't tell anybody, but Dick recorded segments. So again, brand new content for the next few weeks. We've recorded ahead. I got to say one more time, happy birthday. Well, she's putting on her headphones right now. Happy birthday to Kim.
Thank you.
Yes. Did you get some cake there? It looks like you might have gotten some cake.
I had to, yeah.
Yep. Happy birthday.
Cheesecake.
Cheesecake.
It's my favorite.
Well, we take care of, everybody whose birthday it is gets to pick their own kind of cake.
Yeah, I'm glad that I picked cake and not broccoli like somebody we know.
Wait a minute. Really? Was that Josh?
Josh chose broccoli.
He chose broccoli for his birthday?
I think so, right, Alex?
That's disgusting. Oh, happy birthday,
don't get me
Kim.
Wrong. I like broccoli, but that's ridiculous.
Happy.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. We really appreciate it. Thanks, too, to Michael Cozio, who's been playing our great music all day today. You're the greatest. Thanks, most importantly, to all of you for joining me. We do the Gizwiz, the Tech Guy Show. I do the Gizwiz every Saturday, but the Tech Guy Show every weekend. And I hope you will join us. Until next time, I'm Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Have a great Geek Week. Bye-bye. Broccoli. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy Show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, Security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guy Show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.